Hey, grandkids, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents Opa, number 42. And for some reason, when I did the slow introduction, Jeremy questioned how our minds might have been altered with such an introduction. Well, I do not know why he would ask such a thing.
I'm not sure what he's talking about. I mean, I like to keep an open mind.
Yeah, I mean, we have beer. I mean, we admit to that. We have a sippy time beer at the end of every show. I don't know why he doesn't think that maybe we have one or two beforehand.
I don't know either. It's disturbing, and yeah, I find his lack of faith disturbing, basically.
Yeah,
I
guess that's how I put it. His allegations, as they stand, are unjust and unfair.
Yes, and
they're the ravings of a madman who lives in North Carolina.
Yes, signifying nothing. But, well, anyway, we love you, Jeremy. moving on to anything new with you this week? Seems like your health problems are all cleared up.
Yeah.
Get our listeners a happy ending to that story, I guess.
That saga has been ongoing and feeling good. And you know what? They did not need to treat me with any medieval medicine. Surprisingly enough,
a total pro segue. I gotta get bow down to you for that. I can't say anything detrimental at all, so you nailed it.
We did well, actually, I've got to give credit on air to my friend Justin Petreka. Actually linked this on Facebook, so I will have to give him credit for bringing this to my attention.
It was pretty crazy, I gotta say.
Like, yeah, they, what the article covered was, this, one doctor converted an old recipe from medieval times, and
it was like in a book from the 10th century, you know, a potion, if you will.
Yeah, it's from a Bald's Leech book.
Old English, so that's like not even, like, that's like Beowulf type language there.
Yeah, it was not recent at all by any means. By human means, maybe it was not recent 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, and then for some reason, this Dr. Christina Lee, she's an Anglo-Saxon expert. So I wonder if, you know, she was coming across this and wanted to test it out. And she enlisted the help of microbiologists from the University Center for Biomolecular Sciences to recreate the potion for eye infections. And they, what did they find out when they tried it there, Kevin?
They meticulously recreated it, even following the directions for which type of vessel they should do it in.
Sure, like the metal it was made out of?
They specified brass, I believe.
Yeah. And they followed the instructions exactly.
Yeah.
And they got some pretty good results.
Yeah, they actually just tested it on MRSA, which I am fairly I mean, if you watch sports, I think you've heard the term at some juncture. Especially recently, because there have been a lot of guys. Jason Worlds for the Steelers linebacker was out for a couple of games because of MRSA infection a couple of years back.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Well, yeah, it's an antibiotic-resistant bacteria.
Correct.
So this was something they wanted to test, you know, new forms of, you know, medicine on to see what would work.
Yeah, because they just grew their own MRSA, which is just kind of weird to me in the first place. But, yeah, they dropped it on there, and it actually killed the cells.
Right. So it worked, you know, where traditional, like, penicillin and stuff like that
would not work, yeah. And they said that even in a diluted form, it stopped the bacteria from communicating so that it didn't get any worse. It didn't treat the infection, but it did stop it.
Yeah. So it didn't necessarily like wipe it out completely, is what you're saying?
Right. And it was just garlic and onion or leek and bile from a cow's stomach.
Yeah, that's pretty gross, right? I don't know if I would want to put a bunch of bile. Well, I don't know. Do you think bile is just like a kind of garnish, or they don't really recreate the recipe in the article, so it's...
Well, you cannot recreate a cow from the 10th century, that's for sure. Ooh. I would imagine that our cow's stomachs are somewhat different from a cow's stomachs 1,000 years ago.
Well, probably, but, I mean, a cow stomach, I mean, how much can it change over time, would you say? Not too much, right?
I don't know. The climate would be a little bit different, so it would have a different... it'd be eating different stuff, more than likely.
Okay, so according to... From the article here, it says that they have good replicated data, which means that they can repeat the experiment.
Right, and it was... this is another one that is in an early phase. Like, it's not like, oh, they're ready to rush this out to the market.
No, but they said that it kills up to 90% of MRSA bacteria in vivo wound biopsies from mouse models. So they infected mice, but then they also had like artificial wounds, which seemed like weird to me.
Right.
But I guess it's like plastic that they kind of have a a little crevice in or whatever that they can put the MRSA inside there.
Right.
But it's not because of any one ingredient, they think, but the combination of
all the ingredients.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just fascinating that that can happen. It's one of those things that you can't just go, oh, okay, so all of these things are going to work either. Like, it's more of I do think that it would be an interesting thing to research.
So you don't think that people should just go out and, like, check out these 10th century manuscripts from their local libraries and kind of try these recipes at home?
Well,
just willy-nilly?
I guess you start thinking about, and just because I see Ricky Gervais on the Twitter all the time.
Oh, okay.
He is definitely anti-poaching and anti-even hobby hunting for such creatures.
Yeah, I did see quite a bit of chatter about him with his... he went after a couple hunters, I guess, for...
Right.
Was it just the women hunters that he
was talking about? No, I don't think so.
Mm. Well, yeah.
The one was definitely a woman. I'm not sure if the more recent one that killed a rhino was a woman.
Mm.
But it was... I don't know if they're the only ones that have posted pictures or if he's specifically picking on women.
It's an interesting way to kind of... I guess, get people talking about an issue, you know, for him, I guess it seems like it's working pretty well for him.
Right.
But, anyway, would that have to do with this, these medieval recipes now? I don't believe they use rhino to make this particular one.
Oh, no. What I was saying though is, or what I was linking it to was the fact that like the Chinese think that ground up rhino horn.
Oh, right, right.
Is, you know, an aphrodisiac or something like that.
Or like shark fin, maybe, for some...
Yeah, or even shark fin. Like, and it doesn't really have any purpose.
Or like ivory from elephant tusks, you know, that people just kind of like or whatever.
Right. Yeah, it's not something that needs to be done. So, I mean, these recipes... I think that there would be other recipes that you could find even just in use now that you could review more thoroughly, yeah. I would think.
I guess I did think about that too. It's kind of like what you were saying, like Chinese medicine or alternative medicine, what people would say. Like some people are like, if you're like a hardcore skeptic or in that community, you're kind of like... against, you know, alternative medicine because it's not proven to do anything. But, you know, if someone feels better after getting, you know, acupuncture, you know, and they're not being hurt, like, what's the problem, you know?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's supposed to help the tissue there. Yet again, to bring up the Steelers, James Harrison swears by it. And it's helped him prevent injuries and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say, like, even if it's a just a placebo effect, you know, if it's working, it's almost like, you know, I don't know. But I don't know if, like you say, has it ever been tried in a lab where they would do acupuncture on somebody and, you know,
gauge the responses out of it.
Like try to prove or disprove it, you know?
Yeah, it just seems like a natural step to me. But there would be, obviously, this wasn't the only recipe in this book, either. So, there's not saying that every recipe in this book is gonna work. So, everyone, actually, almost all the scientists expected nothing to happen.
Well, yeah, I would say that would be the,
They were skeptical to start with. I guess that should be mentioned, really. You know, they weren't like, oh, yeah, we're gonna find some miracle cure thing here. They're like, holy shit, this might actually work?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, it makes me wonder, like, how did this doctor get these other scientists to agree to it? Because why would they think that it's worth their time, really, I guess, to do this experiment, to try to recreate these, you know, I feel like there's maybe more to this story. There is a video, I think, for anyone who's more interested, probably.
Oh, you know what? I did not watch that.
Yeah, so myself. We could be missing out. But it seems like there's more of a story going on here in some ways.
Well, and again, it's just kind of a short-term testing thing. Like, they haven't run a full trial on it. But now that they've gotten a couple of small trials off, they're ready to move on to the next step. Which, just in and of itself, is pretty crazy that it's going this far.
Yeah. I was just doing a little light Googling to try to see if there had been any studies on acupuncture. And apparently there have been some that says that it, in terms of at least treating depression, it's been kind of like a placebo effect, or at least as effective as a placebo effect.
Okay.
But I don't know. Obviously there are other purported benefits of it as well. So I don't know if there's been a full study done. Again,
it would be kind of interesting to do that. I mean, I don't know if I was skeptical of the massage, but I had just never had one done before.
Whose massage? Massage?
No, getting a massage.
Okay. I didn't know if you were, like, talking about some particular kind of massage.
No.
Okay.
There's no rub and tug here, just a regular...
Gotcha.
You know... The woman was in the lady was in the room.
Kevin, this is not that kind of a show, okay? We don't need to get into all these details.
Just like the WWE, we're PG.
But, you know, it's... I would say that massages have helped me before, like...
Right.
But then it does kind of come back again, you know? I feel like if you're doing the same stuff, it's like going to come back again.
But, oh, right.
So, I don't know. But I feel like it does at least help somewhat. And I guess I felt that way about a chiropractor as well. I went to a chiropractor before, but like, I feel like it helped out, but like the guy, like he maybe really didn't know what he was doing. And like, it's not his fault, but it's just kind of like not nailed down really.
Gotcha.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah. I guess this shows why it's worthwhile to check this stuff out. And that could be really good news for combating this MRSA stuff. I don't know.
Right, yeah, if this actually works, they have found a solution to a very large problem.
Oh, one more thing I forgot about. It was the way that this medicine works, and it's not like penicillin. It doesn't try to attack like the bacteria. It somehow, they think, interferes with the bacteria's abilities to communicate with each other.
Right.
So they can kind of like, I don't know, somehow they like interact with each other and like produce this toxin that will kind of destroy the body's cells. But this medicine will allow it to be like they can't communicate with each other. So maybe they don't know that they're around each other.
Cells are, yeah.
Yeah. So then they're more able to be defeated in that case. So
right.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was a really fascinating article. And there was another one on a very similar topic.
True.
Because if anyone out there has watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
You might recall...
Classic movie.
Yeah, that the people in the medieval times are quite often shown to have a bad hygiene with their teeth.
Yeah, they got, I think, kind of a bad rap, as we're going to discuss.
Yeah, according to this article that you supplied to us.
You know, I remember, I guess what struck me with this article, I remember being a kid and thinking that it was like, I really didn't like brushing my teeth, right? So I was like, man, this is really stupid. Like, you know what? Somebody invented this. Like, people didn't used to have to brush their teeth. Like, there were, like, this is made out of plastic. Like, there couldn't have always been toothbrushes. And like, what did cavemen do, you know?
Well, they certainly answered that question in this one.
Yes.
That was pretty fascinating, too.
No, this wasn't quite caveman, I guess. But I still would, you know, you imagine the dental, level of dental care being low in the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages.
Well, and they did make a good first point, really, is that just diet alone helped them out, because
there's no sugar.
A lack of sugar.
Yes.
And that even when they did use sugar, like a honey, it was used sparingly.
Yes. Honey or like in fruit, you know, but not refined sugar or sugar cane, you know.
Yeah.
They, or if, you know, maybe some people would have had a little bit of sugar, but...
Not, yeah, you couldn't just be throwing it out there.
No.
You didn't have a five-pound bag in your pantry just sitting around for the next pickling liquid you need to do.
Right, it's not like you're going to borrow a cup of sugar from your neighbor, you know. There's, like, not that much sugar to go around. It's a rarity, a delicacy, maybe. But today, obviously, like, there's so much sugar, you can't hardly avoid it.
Right. So they had a built-in advantage in and of the fact that they did not eat that much more sugar. But to get back more to your point of not having a toothbrush, that was true.
Yes.
They did not indeed have a toothbrush.
Or toothpaste.
Or toothpaste. But
so they must have had awful teeth then, right, Kevin?
And I thought I got to the part where, there we go. They, medieval people cleaned their teeth by rubbing them and their gums with rough linen cloths. Various recipes for paste and powder that could be put on the cloth to help clean the teeth and whiten them. It was sage ground with salt crystals, powdered charcoal with rosemary stems.
Powdered charcoal?
Crushed pepper with mint and rock salt.
Crushed pepper?
Yeah.
Rock salt. Well, so I guess you would have this in a cloth, maybe, and, like, fold it in the middle? Like, I'm trying to imagine this. And just kind of rub that on your teeth?
I guess so. Yeah, because you couldn't really rub all of those objects on there. So I think that maybe, or maybe you ground, well, they did say ground, sage ground with salt crystals. So, I mean, it was a powder. So maybe you just put on the inside of the cloth and just rubbed.
I could be. Yeah. Well, you know, from writings at the time, we know some of this stuff, and they apparently wrote about, you know, having white teeth as a sign of beauty or fresh breath.
Right.
So people weren't that much different than we are today.
And it was kind of interesting, too, that they not only did that, they had mouthwashes. And it's not too surprising that it was wine or vinegar-based.
Yeah.
I mean, vinegar just cleans. That's all I use for cleaner now is white vinegar.
Oh, that's good.
And water and a little bit of baking soda. So I can see how it would keep the teeth clean if you just had something like that.
Right. And, you know, as far as wine, a lot of mouthwashes today are alcohol, you know, based. So it's not that different, really.
No. Right.
But this, just the other thing that they were able to tell about people's dental health back then is by looking at, you know, graves and, that, you know, the body, the leftover bodies from people who lived back then. Leftover bodies. Wow. That's really a weird way of putting it, isn't it? Like, we got all these leftover bodies. What are we going to do? So they had some leftover bodies from the Dark Ages, and they didn't know what to do with them. So they said, hey, let's check out these teeth. And they did, and they saw that they had maybe 10% of the people, I think, had like signs of dental decay or cavities.
Oh, right.
Compared to if you looked at some of the leftover bodies from the early 20th century, it was more like 90% of those bodies had the signs of dental decay. So sugar definitely is playing a part, I would say.
Yeah, because I would imagine, I've just recently had my wisdom teeth taken out because I was not caring for them adequately.
Well, they're hard to reach back there.
Yeah, they are hard to reach back there. So I kept all of them until within the last few years. So, you know, that's something that they wouldn't have had done for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just even something that the rest of my teeth are fine, and I haven't ever needed a filling or anything of that nature.
Oh, well, you could go to the barber and get your teeth pulled. That's who would have done that back then, which is, you know, a little crazy.
Yeah, I feel like there was a Steve Martin skit on Saturday Night Live with him.
As a medieval barber? Yeah, I think you're right.
Medieval barber, yes.
I think you're right. Wow, yeah, I'll have to check that one out here later. But, so yeah, you would go there for your teeth pulling. But I was just thinking, like, if we didn't have this much sugar today, like, how many fewer dentists would there be? Like, if it's a difference of 10% have cavities versus 90%, I mean, that's got to be huge, right?
Yeah, there would be a lot less dentists.
I mean,
I would think that you might not even need a cleaning every 6 months. Maybe you only need a cleaning once a year.
That's going to be about half as many dentists right there.
Maybe I'll talk the lady into starting to use medieval toothpaste.
Yeah, the tricky thing would be to try to live that medieval diet. there's so much sugar. I guess you can read the labels, you know. I think what put it to me is, like, when you think about how many grams of sugar something has, that's equal to that many sugar packets, because a sugar packet is, like, a gram, basically. So,
oh, okay.
For everybody out there, want to think about your health, just try to put that in perspective. Think about how many sugar packets you're going to be eating with your food that you're intaking. Just check out the nutrition facts, people. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's always been saying. That's what the show has basically been about. It's like,
I guess I do eat more fresh food now and less sugar.
Well, that's good.
So I would think that that would be a benefit here.
I would say for sure. So yeah, those medieval people were not so stupid. They
right.
They knew how to take care of their teeth.
They had cures for MRSA.
Yeah. Before there even was MRSA.
Yep. And
that's how on top of it they were.
And they had better teeth than us.
Yeah. By a lot.
And some of those better teeth, you know, we mentioned were in England. And Scotland is not England. It is a kind of a separate territory, a separate state still, since they decided to stay in the Union.
You know what? I think they're actually different. They're considered countries, which is weird, because they're all part of one, you know, state. One, no, they're different nations, but they're one country. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, that was throwing me off there. Because in some, like, sporting scenarios, they compete separately. Like at the Olympics, right? They have England and, like, Scotland.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because I guess it is England. And yeah. It's England in soccer also.
There you go. That's right. So, it's confusing, you know, and we're better people than us have been tripped up by this in the past, I'm sure.
Yeah. And, there has been a little confusion over, whether, there is a, Loch Ness monster in the Scottish hills.
In
the Loch of Ness. Yeah. So, I hadn't really, I've got to admit, thought this hard about the Loch Ness Monster being real or not. Like, it was one of those things that I always wanted Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster or something to be real.
Oh, yeah. I was always into that kind of, you know, stuff, and I always would hope that the Loch Ness Monster was real. I don't know why. It's not like that would affect me at all, really. I guess just to be able to think, like, wow, isn't that cool that there's, like, this big, you know, monster that's out there in this lake somewhere? But why it's cool, I'm not really sure. Maybe part of it was, like, to stick it to the scientists and be like, yeah, you were so sure of yourself that this couldn't exist. Well, now, what do you think? And I think this week there was something that Google put out because they had their Street View went onto Loch Ness and somehow or other, I don't know if this was staged, but they got a picture where it looked like there was maybe a log sticking out of the water.
Yeah, it looked like two humps.
Yeah.
And if that's why they did that, and they're trying to claim that that's Loch Nessie.
It's I don't know. You may need a little more evidence to convince people.
Yeah,
because it was about like 100 yards away, and it basically looked like a log in the water to me.
Yeah, or a fish coming out of the water.
I guess that's being charitable, but yeah, I guess it could be a fish. But this article that you had added on to the show was basically a total buzzkill if you really hope that there is such a thing as a Loch Ness Monster.
Right, yeah, I think they have a pretty open and shut case here.
They basically,
in my humble opinion,
go down the list of why there really cannot be a Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, just to think, and it was the 1930s that there was the one famous photograph from.
1933, so, I believe.
Right.
The same year that the Steelers were founded.
you are correct,
yes.
Sir.
And the movie King Kong, which... the article said that may have affected people's imaginations because there were, like, dinosaurs, you know, in that one. And I believe a sea monster as well attacked him at some point. Yeah.
Right.
So that could have been part of the reason for this catching on as it did. But somebody apparently faked a photograph and became famous for it, or, you know, like the Loch Ness Monster became famous for it.
Right, and it always seemed like everyone said that the equipment was too limited to penetrate the whole way or something like that. Like, I feel like it was on Unsolved Mysteries when we were kids.
Right.
And well, they kind of, Robert Stack left it open. Like, there still might be.
He didn't want to shut that door all the way.
Because
the show is called, is the show called Solved Mysteries, Kevin? No, it's Unsolved. He cannot solve that mystery, or else he's going to be putting himself out of a job. So, yeah, it's in his interest to keep those mysteries unsolved, I got to say. And like, those kind of shows are like that, you know, where they will be like, could this really be? Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. It would be kind of interesting to go back and watch those and see if you're like, oh, I could really probably, like, all this stuff's probably debunked now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And there's still shows like that being made today, but, you know.
There is a Bigfoot show on. And that was the one thing, because I thought the original link I saw for this article said that these, or no, did they say.
Wasn't that show Bigfoot Hunters? Is that what it was called?
Oh, there are a couple of them.
Oh my gosh.
That could be one. There are several.
That is weird.
So, I'm not going to, because I don't think that's what it's called on Destination America.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine there being, you know, that we live in a world where there's multiple Bigfoot-related reality shows on television. But here we are.
Yep, we may have worse teeth than those people in the Middle Ages, but by golly, we have several Bigfoot shows.
We have better television. Well, debatedly. I don't know.
Maybe the minstrels of yore were better.
Yeah. Although, you know, it depends if you consider no television to be better than Bigfoot Hunters. but, you know, I don't know. I leave that to our listeners to decide for themselves, I think.
Yeah, since I'm such a sports junkie, I'm going to go with television.
Yeah. Well, no, there's other things that television has going for it. You know, it's not just Bigfoot Hunters. I shouldn't make that a false choice between Bigfoot Hunters and nothing. There's other things. So, yeah.
Right.
But this was, you know, basically the lake is too small was probably the most convincing argument.
Well, and I mentioned the year at the start just to think about the fact that it's been almost 100 years. It's been 80 years plus since the first sighting.
Yes.
And the first topic is there hasn't been one convincing sighting. And, yeah, in 80 years, with the amount, because I'm trying to think of the amount of tourists that they,
Tourists?
Did I say that wrong?
I just always say tourists.
Tourists?
Yeah. That's interesting. But is that just how you say it, you think?
Yeah, I just maybe say it wacky. Like, I say a lot of things wacky.
Yeah, well, you're just a wacky guy.
Oh, yeah, it pulls in $25 million, people coming to see the Loch Ness Monster, or 25 million pounds.
Which is actually probably more than $25 million, or at least close to at this point.
Yeah, I don't know how the dollars are against each other. I suppose I could look that up right now just to be completely thorough for our fans.
Yeah, this is what they expect from us. In-depth research. Well, I guess the one thing I hadn't realized is that there was actually sightings of this Loch Ness Monster before 1933. In 1852, for example, villagers brought out actual pitchforks to battle a quote-unquote sea serpent. It turned out to be a pony taking a bath. This is from the article. So... That's a funny way of putting it.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's $37.6 million.
Yes. And there's people out there who felt like I used to. You know, like, you just want to believe that it's true. And, like, it doesn't really matter. You know, if you sat and thought about it, I think everybody would come to the conclusion that, okay, like, there has... this can't really be true, right? Because they also say that, like, the floor, the lock is, like, really flat and, like, it would be easy to, you know, find remains, you know, leftover. Oh. If there was any leftover bodies from the Loch Ness monsters down there.
Yeah, from former Loch Ness monsters. Because, yes. Yeah, I mean, at a minimum, there's been something living there for 80 years. Again, to kind of go back to that topic.
Sure.
There would have to be more than one generation at this juncture.
You would think, right? I mean, unless these things are, like, living more than 80 years. Which I guess, I don't know. Wait,
that would be fascinating in and of itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that there are some turtles that can go, like, a buck 40 or something like that. Some of those, like, giant tortoises, I believe.
Yes. And there may be some animals that are actually biologically immortal. Like, I think lobsters, if they don't get killed, they'll like, just keep growing and getting, like, bigger and older. Like, they get around aging by, like, always growing, apparently. Which was interesting to me. It makes you wonder if there's, like, not some huge, like, lobster down at the bottom of the ocean somewhere feeding on giant squids. What else would a giant lobster be eating? That would be really scary, actually. Ooh. Right. Okay, listen, this is going to be our movie idea for the week, so...
Oh, okay.
And if you people out there, Scream Raiders, listen up. Go ahead, Hollywood blockbuster, giant lobster. I'm thinking, you know... attacks people on a boat, knocks out their communication systems.
Oh. Yeah, one species of jellyfish reverts to sexually immature stage after reproducing, rather than dying, as in other jellyfish. Consequently, the species is considered biologically immortal and no maximum lifespan.
Right.
It continues to rebirth itself? That is crazy.
Right? Yeah, that's pretty nutty. So we could be dealing with that kind of situation, like a Benjamin Button fish monster, where it will just, you know, never die. So that could be what's going on with the Loch Ness Monster. To be fair, the article did not cover that possibility. It's really a hole in their argument. But
they did not leave too many holes.
Yeah.
But that is certainly one.
That was a glaring omission.
Oh, just the fact that it would be too cold for reptiles.
Yes.
And I hearken back to my experience with my ex-wife and the fact that we had Fluffy.
Speaking of reptiles? Is that what you
mean? Yeah, speaking of reptiles, we had Fluffy, the ball python.
Yes.
And Fluffy needed a heat lamp to stick around these parts, because it was not sunny enough here, because where they're from, it is really, really hot and really, really sunny.
Yeah. And they're cold-blooded, you know.
Yes.
Which they need heat from the environment to basically move around and, you know, exist without literally their blood freezing, which seems like that would be a problem.
Right. In Scotland, you're kind of far north in the world.
Yeah.
It is not all that hospitable to reptiles.
It's pretty chill up there. There's really, I think, only a couple species of reptiles that live in Scotland, I want to say. I could be making that up.
I can't remember if they addressed that.
Yeah, I think they did. Because I remember them saying there's only a couple... species. And that
yeah, there are only a few species of reptiles that live in Scotland.
That always reminds me of St. Patrick driving.
Oh, yeah, because it was thought to be a plesiosaur, which was a tropical dinosaur.
Now, I think it was a reptile, though, right? Now, I don't think dinosaurs were actually reptiles. They were like... warm-blooded now, they think, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not check into that one before right now.
Yeah, that's something that
Oh, I guess they do say that some of them turned into birds.
That's right. Like,
so I guess that would mean that they were warm-blooded.
Like, birds are basically the non-extinct dinosaurs.
Right, which is just weird to think about. I still find that one hard to think about.
I guess you can imagine it more with, like, maybe an ostrich or...
yeah. Crocodiles, I could certainly buy, is a dinosaur. They have been around a freakishly long time.
Yeah, sharks have been around for a long time, too.
Right.
I guess, what are we saying?
well, you were saying about how the Loch Ness wasn't, the dinosaurs weren't they weren't reptiles.
No, I don't believe so. So they may have evolved from reptiles, but they were like birds without the feathers, basically.
They're
instead of feathers, they had like that keratinous skin. Growth on their skin, yeah. Which was probably not quite as adaptable as feathers, really.
Yeah, so. Feathers seem kind of useful, and you can grow extras.
That's always nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the birds, you ever notice how, like, fast birds are? Do you ever think that's weird? Like, if you're, like, looking at, like, maybe not all birds.
Well, it's one of the few things that I don't worry about. Like, I almost hit one driving.
This is one of the things you don't worry about? Oh, okay.
Well, when I was driving into work today,
you made it sound like you worry about everything in the world except for birds.
well, I do worry about them less when I'm driving because of how fast they are. Like, it doesn't seem like if you're... unless a bird is completely unawares for some reason... I can't think of ever hitting a bird with my car.
Maybe, Skunk, I would
raccoon. Yeah, luckily I avoided deer.
I would be worried about a goose.
Yeah, I have almost picked off a goose
because they're kind of big and slow on the ground, at
and
least.
They're very stubborn. They will not react to any honking of the horn. Any encroaching on their territory, they are just like, nah, fuck off.
Yeah,
I'm going here.
Just to back that up with an anecdote, I did see a little person screaming at the top of his lungs and running full on towards a goose today, outside of the six pack shop I was at, and the goose really took it pretty well. I would say, like, did not like definitely. Ran away from the guy.
Oh.
But did not, like, fly off or anything.
Yeah, well, I've had a goose try to attack me.
Yeah, me too. Like, I must have been close to their nesting spot or something.
Yeah, I had dropped off a rental car and was walking back home, and one went after me. So, I don't mind. One of the few things they are scared of are dogs, which always crack me up. There are so many geese in Dublin, they actually have... a couple of dogs that go out and scare some of the geese.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're a little intimidating when they're coming at you and, like, hiss. They do. Did that one start hissing at you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they do have some... it's not teeth, but they... The beak is... It has some kind of jagged edges to it.
Is that right?
I believe so. Or at least one or something like that.
Really? Huh. That's terrifying. Yeah. I gotta say, they could, like, jump up and go for your jugular.
Well, I wouldn't quite worry about that, but those things are kind of nasty. I'd rather stay away from those things.
How much do you think one weighs? I mean, I'm just thinking, like, you could probably kick it, but...
Right. I would say it wouldn't be that much bigger than a... It has to be smaller than a turkey.
Right.
I'd say, I don't know, 10 to 20 pounds?
Yeah, I mean, not it's insubstantial.
Right.
So if you're going to go up against would you rather go up against one goose or, like, six sparrows? Because sparrows freak me out because they're, like, so fast. Like, they're, like, so twitchy, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess a hummingbird's just an easy one to target.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about fast birds. The hummingbird sits up there pretty high with being able to move their wings so fast.
Right. I did enjoy a pair of cardinals flitting around my backyard last night.
Cardinals are nice, yeah.
Yeah. Because I think it's the female does not have the all red plumage. It's brown red.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was it looked like a couple, or at least someone was doing some courting, one of the two, because they were flying around together.
Lovebirds.
Yep.
Oh, jeez. Spring is in the air, Kevin. You cannot deny it.
Well, you could with the temperatures, but we are not going to.
Wouldn't work. So, you know, last week we also had a story that took place very near to Scotland, I guess I would say.
Well, yeah, we talked about England a couple of times here already, so.
Yeah. There was a, some guy in, was this England, I would say?
Or? Yeah, it was, England. It was a soccer player. And I'm trying to pull up the division because it was a very, small, division.
And
this guy was not exactly, semi-pro soccer team. So, I mean, this guy wasn't even full-on professional.
And I don't think he was a starter either.
Right. And after,
so
his team lost 4-1.
Ouch!
At an away match.
Oh, this was an away match.
Yes.
What is going on here? All right. So this guy's name is Jay Hart. The team is Clitheroe, which kind of spells trouble. He was cut from that team, though, after video surfaced online of him doing some fan relations, I guess?
Yes, I would call it... That was kind of the funny thing, is that the away team had a ladies' day in appreciation of their female fans. Well, one of the female fans in the stadium enjoyed them English soccer right in their...
they were getting it on
vajay.
In the dugout after the game.
Right, and the guy still had on his warm-up uniform from his semi-pro team.
Yes, he had the pants down around his ankles, I believe.
Yeah, at least they said around the ankles, at least in the unfortunately, the video has been taken down around the world. Because someone actually recorded this and posted it online.
Oh, I think there is a video. But it may have just resurfaced recently.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't see it in the player here. It may have been like the other thing. Maybe I should have looked for it.
Well, that's all right.
But
yeah, it was not that sexy, I gotta say. But it's
it does not look sexy at all. Just even from the picture that I saw.
Yeah, it was there's a lot to wonder about this, I guess. Like, first of all, it's an away game for this guy. Like,
the first thing that obviously came into question was the fact that this gentleman had a wife and two kids.
Yes, and he's being filmed surreptitiously here. And the guy's, you know, starts laughing when he sees himself being filmed.
Yeah, so he's not entirely ashamed of what is going on.
Right. I would think you would have to realize that, uh-oh, this is a problem, you know, especially if you're married. Like, but he seemed to be taking it in good stride that somebody was filming him.
Right.
But, like, what? I'm just trying to think from the fan's perspective. Like, why would you go down to the dugout to have sex with this guy who's not even a starter on a semi-pro soccer team? Like, and he's not even on the home team. Like, what is this? What is going on?
Hey, yeah, I don't know how close these two teams are, and I don't know if this was a traveling fan.
Maybe. But if so, like, why can't you just, like, you know, go somewhere else? That's, you know, this seems, this does call back to last week's episode with the young couple who...
had sex in the ambulance.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe there's something going on over there in England that these people are just like, they got to go like right then and there. Like they can't keep it in their pants. All right. That's how I'll say it. They need to, they just need to keep it in their pants, I think is the problem.
Right.
A little bit longer, like go to a hotel room. Like no one's going to see you there.
Yeah, it really didn't make a whole lot of sense to do it right there. Like, you know what? Yeah, have fun. Do it. I don't care. My problem.
I'm guessing maybe she was into that. And maybe that was like...
Well, and he was obviously into it too, considering that he was laughing about it afterwards.
Right. It was all fun and games until... people put it on the internet, and then shit got real, I think.
That's when shit gets real.
Yeah.
When you post on the internet.
Because there was a lot of, you know, sharing and laughing, I think. Until it got serious. He got fired from that team for misrepresenting the uniform or something like that.
Yes, I'm expecting that it's not too hard to replace someone on a semi-pro team.
True. No, that's not starting, I should point. I want to just underline that.
Yes, you have not really mentioned that enough.
I don't know if I've established it.
Story.
But yeah, he did not start for this team. He was not good enough to start for the semi-pro team. But I guess technically a soccer player? Maybe she wanted him to stay in his uniform. Like, can you imagine him being like, hey, all right, this is cool. I'm into it, but let's go to, you know, get a room somewhere. You know, I'll put on, you know, a nice leisure suit. And, you know, she's like, no, I want to do it right here in your soccer uniform. Like, maybe she's like some deranged soccer groupie or something.
Right. Her face was not caught in this video.
Right, no. She had her head all the way down. Her hair was covering her face.
Right. So she seems to have gotten away on this one scot-free.
Yes. Smart move on her part. I don't know if she was in on it or what, but...
Yeah, so if she's the one that planned this whole thing and talked him into it, well, then she worked her magic.
Yeah, I think she got what she wanted, if that's the case. But... I got a hats off to her, I guess, really.
hats off to her.
Her plan came together, if that's what it was. But, yeah, this guy...
I want to fuck up this guy's life completely. It's going to be awesome.
It went off well. Well, no, this guy, I mean...
Went off like gangbusters.
This guy deserves...
He got caught by his wife and he got canned from the team.
Right. But it seemed like his wife was standing by him, strangely.
Yes.
Because this guy does deserve, you know, some ridicule, I would say. I don't know if he... Would you say he deserves to get fired from the team? Maybe so. It wasn't like it was during a game, I guess, but it's still...
Yeah, I don't know how important this semi-pro team is. I'd imagine not as important as they think it is.
Well, okay. Let's say that... somebody at your office was having sex after work in the office. Would you say that they should be fired for that?
No.
Right. But
maybe there aren't very many options, actually, though, so it's either myself or my boss or the secretary.
So there's three people who could be...
Yeah, who have partners at the current moment.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, this guy's having an affair. It could just be... It could be anybody, you know?
Yeah. I'm just saying. It's only a 3 out of 5 chance at my office.
Wow, you're just writing off 2 people completely.
Yeah, I am.
I hope they're not listeners.
No, they're not, so I'm not too concerned.
All right. Well, that's good then.
And if they do, hey, take it as a challenge.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that just happened.
I mean, they know, just like an idiot intern, everything is filmed in there. It's not filmed in there at all. You know, it would be caught on film, just like this guy. So we would, be able to confirm if it happened.
So, well, yeah, I guess somebody would have to, like, maybe be passing by and see them in the window or something and film it.
But yeah, and that would be kind of tough to pull off. Because even the windows that we do have blinds in them.
All right, then I guess they would have to be doing it outside of your office, which invites another series of questions, you know.
Right.
Okay, so you couldn't wait for the hotel room. You know.
And you didn't want to stay in the office.
You didn't want to go into the office? I mean, it was right there. Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know if they would be fired in a normal job, but it seems like for whatever reason, like sporting type jobs, they...
I think that it would happen, depending upon the size of the company and who you're sleeping with and what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
If it was 2 single people, I don't think... Because I think that things are more of a problem in big firms than it is in a little firm. Just in general, whether it's, you know, architecture or, you know, brand clothing, whatever. Like, when you're, I think the smaller the company, the more forgiving you might have as a boss.
Gotcha.
I think in a corporate world, it's like, nope, you are toast. Like, I would imagine if someone got caught in a McDonald's sleeping with someone and it was caught on film, that they would likely get canned.
Yeah, I mean, there could be, like, a food safety issue, I guess, about that, perhaps.
Right.
You
know, you could invite some other things to be questionable.
They don't want you
like
to be slapping patties, you know, in the food preparation area. That's against regulations, and could probably be a firing offense, I would say.
Right, I would think so.
Illegal patty slapping, it's a serious issue. I don't know why you were laughing. But I do believe that brings us to the end of this week's episode.
Yeah, and we have 2 Sippy Time beers for you this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because you did not tell me you had beverages.
But I did not tell you that I didn't have beverages either.
Correct. Yeah. So I decided to make sure that I covered my bases. Just in case you did not have any beverages, I purchased one on the way down here.
All your base are belong to Kevin.
Yep. And you ended up drinking the beer that I brought down. I ended up drinking the remainder of the beer that you had purchased.
Did you have any of the beer that you brought down?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
I will have that shortly after the show here.
All right, excellent.
And mine was a Doppeldinkle Bock from Deschutes and Distelhauser is a joint beer venture. And how was it?
I enjoyed it. It was definitely full-bodied. So you would have to be in the, but you're going to expect that with a Doppelbock, I would imagine.
Yeah, they're usually pretty hardy.
Yeah.
When I went down to the Bach Fest there in Cincinnati, it by the end of it, I kind of tapped. Like, as much as I like Bach beers, it's just a lot of flavor going on.
Yeah. I don't know if I could see myself drinking multiples of these, but it was a quality beer.
Right, and the one that you had was Victory 1337 Ale, which was when the law... Oh, no, there was a year that Jimmy Carter, and I don't have that bottle down here.
I think it was 79, maybe?
Yeah, it was the bill was 1337.
The one that allowed home brewing?
The one that allowed home brewing.
Yeah, well, that's
and the people that run Victory, evidently their father was a very early dabbler in the making of home beer. So they took his recipe that came after this act, so that you could home brew, and recreated it for mass consumption.
And so, something like the medieval recipe that is being put together again.
Now, if you recreated like one of the beers from the 1542 beer purity law in Germany, that I would go with being closer. At least that would be from the 16th century.
Yeah, well, somebody probably is doing that out there somewhere.
Right. It would be pretty interesting to taste that. I'm sure it would be much different than what we have today.
Yeah, I'd be into it, but
yeah, this it was a good beer. Like, I'm not sure what to call it. To be honest with you, in the taste spectrum, I enjoyed it. I'm not sure I was overwhelmed.
Yeah, it was a bit lighter, I would say, than a lot of what we've been having lately.
Right,
almost. Heineken-ish, but not quite that light, I would say.
Yeah, it was not that light. It almost had a little bit of a red ale kick to it.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, yeah, I mean, it was solid. I'm not going to give it full high marks. But, as a home brewer, I'm hoping that my first beverage is not my best beverage.
Yeah, and one day someone may be recreating your recipe.
Right. So, hey, that's the way things go. Beer number two gets tasted this weekend. Beer number three goes into the hopper. So, but I have also got to mention at the end of this show, next week, next Friday... starts Columbus Beer Week.
Mm.
So we will definitely need to feature local beers next week. All right. The week after that, because it actually lasts for 9 days. So that will cover two of our recordings.
Man, they must be really drunk. Don't they realize that a week is 7 days?
Yeah, I don't care. I'll celebrate for nine. I mean, twist my arm.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'll let it slide.
Yep. So I might have to make a special trip since a lot of those beers are not in the refrigerator at Kenny Wayne Shepherd Market.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to check out.
So those are the Sippy Time beers for tonight. Grandkids, have a good evening.
All right. Have a good week.